Money Show
with Bruce Whitfield on 702.
702.
I wonder if Stats SA is able to measure week-on-week productivity in South Africa. I've got a feeling that this week is going to be one of our less productive weeks, and you should be able to see drops happening all over the country, thanks to a fourth-time Rugby World Cup win as they parade the Webb Ellis Trophy around the country later on this week. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. No one's going to be able to concentrate, I don't think, anyway. I've been wondering how we can capture the win to turn it into something tangible, beyond the fact that it's massively inspirational. The kids of all hues and ages are going to find a player with whom they can relate, or like me, simply be in awe of the astonishing achievement of a squad of people properly led with a proper strategy and a common goal. And it's amazing what can be achieved on a global scale against the best in the world when you have those few things in place. We tend to allow great opportunities like we're experiencing right now to pass us by, and not long after the tinsel is blown off the streets, we return to our old self-destructive habits. Anne Bernstein is Executive Director at the Center for Development at Enterprise, is on the line to us from Johannesburg this evening. This isn't about the Rugby World Cup, and it's much more about actually how we harness our greatness and develop a country for the future. Maybe you penned this in anticipation of a medium-term budget policy statement that's going to read like a Stephen King novel. But certainly there are a few things that we can start to get right that can put us on the right track. If we need to use the medium-term budget policy statement and a Rugby World Cup win, well, if we can, that's great. But we've got big jobs to do here, Anne. Good evening.
Good evening, Bruce. Good to be with you and your listeners. Very big jobs that's ahead of us. Economic growth has essentially collapsed in South Africa because of a combination of bad policy, catastrophic governance, and lack of leadership. In effect, we're arguing the country has an anti-growth strategy. And in order to fix all of this, we need the correct diagnosis, which is what the president and the government have not given us. To airily say 9 wasted years is not a diagnosis. What have we done wrong, and what must we do better? And I think there are two absolutely stunning things about South Africa today. There are many. The one is the most senior chief executives have to stop what they're doing, which is running their company, and they have to help the government govern the country. Now, I'm pleased they're doing it, and I wish them luck, but that's a sad reflection of South Africa today. The second is when you start to think, well, what can we do to actually get growth going again? We came to this very depressing conclusion, which is that the essential precondition of growth in South Africa today is that you can't start to rise until you've stopped falling. And we haven't yet fixed
We can't start to rise until we have stopped falling. That's a terrible indictment, and I think, unfortunately, you're absolutely right on it. I mean, in any metric that we try to measure South Africa under, except maybe Rugby World Cup wins and astonishing cricket performance on Friday night, things aren't going right. How do we stop the outflow? How do we stop the negativity so that we can begin just to consolidate and rebuild? What can we do to stop the rot?
Well, we're saying we must stop developing laundry lists of how to fix everything all at once. That doesn't work. And we must also stop prioritizing and saying, oh, the state is weak. But then in your next breath, you say the state must do this, that, and the next thing. Because the state is very, very limited. So this is an incredibly hard situation. We're saying South African government has to focus. We should have 3 priorities only. That's about a lot more than we think we can deal with, but let's have 3 priorities. And the priorities are not rocket science. They are, we've got to improve security and the rule of law. The deepening penetration of organized crime into a rising number of economic sectors is a big break on growth. So firstly, the government needs to build its capacity to resist the mafias that are making economic growth increasingly impossible. And secondly, the government needs to build the state's capacity. or society's capacity, but the state has to protect itself from corrupt members of the political, bureaucratic, and economic elite. So that's the first priority. The second is, we all know, we have to address the energy and logistics crisis, and we must stop ad hocing it. We must stop delaying. What we need is to move away from monopoly provision in both energy and, importantly, in terms of rail and ports and so on, and get competitive markets working. So we can go into a lot more detail on that. And then the third priority, which is relevant to the medium-term budget statement this week, is we have to stabilize public finances. Now, National Treasury articulates the need to reduce the deficit and stabilize the debt ratio, but far too little has been achieved. And now they are requesting all institutions throughout the state to cut back because we're running out of money. And this is a terrible signal if you want to get growth going, because investors will be really worried. This is a risky situation. Will my taxes go up? Will there be a fiscal crisis? What's going on here? So we've got to stabilize public finances, and I'm afraid that means we're going to have to cut expenditure.
I don't know if you remember Ramaphosa. It was a brief 2.5-3 week period where we felt that things might just come right magically. There was a like a magic wand, and we're going to wave it, and it was all going to fix itself. In the first State of the Nation address that the president delivered, he was in terribly good form, and he was talking about vanity projects of smart cities and bullet trains, or was it bullet cities and smart trains? I can't remember. But it's the vanity projects that rich countries like to go embark on and mess up. We need the more boring things done, frankly. And we need to get those boring things done really quickly. I mean, there's nothing boring about safety and security and the rule of law, but it's not very exciting also to do energy and logistics. It's also not very exciting to do public finances. Those are things that should just happen in a professionally run state. And unfortunately, it's the boring stuff that we have to get right, and long before we can start dreaming about, you know, anything to do with anything dreamy and vote winning.
Unfortunately, I agree with you, Bruce, and it's hard to see how the current leadership and the way in which the country's being led can actually deal with these three priorities that we think are the place to start, to lay the foundation. They're almost like the basics of the social contract that we have between the, you know, citizens and the state, and it's not working. So leadership is a very big issue, and we can't continue with people in the cabinet who really can't do their jobs. We can't continue when the priority is the party and not the national interest for so many people right at the top of government. So this is a critical issue.
We need it's absolutely critical. And there's a slight delay on our lines. We'll be crossing lines a little bit. No, it's me. It's not you. It's me. The governor, Reserve Bank Governor Lesetse Kganyago, voted in 2020 by his peers as the best of them. He made a speech 2 years ago, and it stuck with me. I've mentioned it from time to time. And he said, when everything's a priority, nothing is a priority.
Exactly.
I've heard people refer to it as, you know, we shouldn't try and boil the ocean. That's quite a popular term that people use. And it is the sense that we try to do so much with so little rather than try to fix a few things with the little we have. And those choosing those few things that actually become a catalyst for further improvements as things, as you sort out safety and security, people become more confident. They may be willing to invest. They may feel a little bit more confident about the future. You fix electricity, people may go, oh, we can open a factory, whatever it might be. But just getting the basics right, those building blocks that are so essential.
And Bruce, to add to what you're saying, couldn't agree more. We need, you know, we've got all these reforms we're sort of dealing with, but we don't have end points for those reforms. What's the end point where we can actually say, done, now we move on? So we're always in, you know, crisis response. Oops, something happened, as though it's unexpected, as though nobody had been predicting it. So we go round and round because we don't have a proper diagnosis, because we won't talk the truth about cabinet that in many respects is not competent to run a modern society. And we won't talk about fundamental policies. We're starting now about monopolies and competition. That's good. But we never seem to get to the next level. And that's what's absolutely essential. And that's why we're saying we have to focus. We have to focus on these three things. Anything else shouldn't be on the president's diary, should stay home more, and he should fix South Africa.
I mean, he's got Thabo Mbeki-initis, I think. I mean, and Thabo Mbeki-initis was Jan Smuts-initis. When you can't fix things at home, you tend to focus elsewhere and you try and build a legacy for yourself, it seems, anyway. And, you know, you go and play big away games rather than focusing on the game at home. And we all know how that ends eventually.
Exactly. It didn't end happily for Jan Smuts. So. Anyhow,
it set the country on a very dangerous and dreadful trajectory for generations, and we must avoid that. The president's got an hour and 40 minutes to rewrite his speech. I'm wondering what you would like him including in that speech. We have no idea what it's about. We can speculate till the cows come home. But if you would you like to send him your release about improving security and rule of law, addressing the crises in energy and logistics, and stabilizing public finances, and saying this is what I'm going to focus on into the future?
I'd like him to say that, and my ultimate dream is if he were to say, South Africa is in such deep, deep trouble that we need to pull on the very best people in our society to help get us out of it, and I'm going to change my cabinet and get people of real experience who now know how to run big systems and bed down change. That's what I'm going to do for South Africa. But he won't.
Oh, we can dream, man. We can dream. Let's keep that. I'm tired of hoping. Anne, thank you. Anne Bernstein is the executive director at the Center for Development and Enterprise on The Money Show this evening. And those things. And it's that idea of truly focusing in and on the stuff that we can fix.